This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
I say the biggest thing is that they want to win. That was the biggest and most important thing. That was really it. That's really what it came down to them, or two. And that aligns with me. I want to be around people that want to win. I want to be around people that want to achieve high, because it only makes me better. That only holds me accountable. And it makes me excited to be around people like that.
Everybody's excited. This is the day for it. It's the day for excitement. We knew it was coming, but it doesn't make it any less fun. So let's find out more. Caleb Williams, we know, as extroverted as he is going to tell us a lot about himself, but getting some of these outside perspectives is obviously helpful as well. So now we welcome Randy Trivers to the Score. He is the head football coach at Gonzaga College High School, and he is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Randy, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
How proud are you right now? What type of moment is this for you?
Oh, it's a fantastic feeling, you know, and it's you get a lot of opportunities as an educator and as a coach to mentor and develop and hopefully see a lot of these young folks achieve. But you know, when you talk about the first pick in the National Football League draft, that's a very rare type of achievement. And so to be, in a once in a place to see more on the front end of what this person was and to see what they've grown and developed into, it's a phenomenal feeling and very rare, like an eclipse, you know, very rare. I would imagine that there are people that can have this type of moment in terms of being able to observe this dream come true.
Describe the first time you met Caleb Williams in person.
First time I met Caleb on our campus at Gonzaga, I could kind of tell that he was so I'd seen him on videotape, you know, and seen him execute these plays as a young youth league player. You know, you could see that, man, he's this arm talent that's beyond his age or what he should be doing. He's got these feet and legs that move in a way that's, man, it's advanced. But the first time I met him, you could tell he just exuded a sense of self-confidence that was really good. Yet he was polite and humble, and that's how I first remember meeting him. And man, this guy, he has a certain, bounce in his walk. He's got a certain posture, a certain demeanor. And that's what you kind of look for when you're talking about a quarterback. You know, you want that person to have that it in terms of just the way their energy when they move and walk into a room. And I could sense that the first time I met him.
So he's got the self-confidence, but the drive, where do you think that comes from? And because I know I've read the stories about his family, like they've been pushing for this moment, it seems, for a really long time. Sometimes that burns kids out. Why did it not burn him out?
Well, I think it's because it starts with him. You know, I think his family has always been great in supporting him and saying, hey, if this is what you want, here's what we're all in to help you, you know, get it what it is you want. So I think it starts with Caleb's inner drive and his passion for the game of football, his passion for being the best, and his passion for that really says, you know what, I'm willing to commit and to work hard. I mean, every one of the human beings walking this earth can dream and can sit at a desk or sit on a chair and say, you know, hey, this is what I want to do. This is my goal. But it's the ones that really make it to the top are the ones that have this really passion to really be committed to it and go through the ups and downs, trials, tribulations, whatever it may be to sustain and then ultimately to get there. Of course, you know, you got to have some God-given stuff with you as well, and a lot of things have to go your way. But I think he has this burning desire within him, supported by family and others that have been around him to help all things come to fruition.
Something that I've been trying to unlock as younger generations and a very different generation of athlete, the NIL athlete, the empowered athlete is coming to the professional ranks, Randy, is that we listen to these old NFL scouts, these old crusty NFL scouts. Oh, is he going to take to coaching? How much does he love football? Is he going to be in the building? How does he take to coaching? And this idea of taking to coaching to me doesn't mean what it used to mean. And there has to be an understanding of a player who, sure, I am receptive. I understand the power structure. But look, I matter too. This is a two-way street. I'm going to need to know why you're asking me to do something. And it sounds like Caleb has a very mature sense of the coach and quarterback relationship. Did you help build that? Was that always there? And where do you think it is now for him?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately, you're right. You know, things evolve in terms of athletes. You know, you use the term like, hey, there was an old school way of doing things, and things evolve. But really, at the core of it, you know, Caleb wants to be great, and knowing that, you know, to be great, there has to be a way that you step outside of your comfort zone, and you've got to really expend and stretch it and push it to where, you know, you're not going to be great, and we are ultimately not going to be great if we don't do it this, you know, try to go beyond these boundaries. So I think most really, really good athletes that are willing to that would really want to be great and a part of the, you know, the whole, because in football, as we know, it's the best team game ever invented. You know, so you there needs to be this mutually beneficial relationship, this mutual understanding that, you know what, I'm coach me, all right, and push me and challenge me so that I can be great. So at Gonzaga, you know, it was you know, hey, pushing this young man and making sure that he was challenged in a way to continue to advance further, you know, and he had I'm sure the same thing with Coach Riley at Oklahoma and at USC and then you know to and on the next level. So he's gonna be one that invites that challenge, whether it's his teammates in practice, whether it's you know, the coaching staff challenging his mind in a certain way to, you know, to continue to grow and develop in a way that says, okay, this is the only way I can be great, and the only way we can be great is to have that sense of accountability to one another and that you know, exceeding those boundaries.
Randy, you've done this for three decades. My partner and I have had a lot of conversations over the last year about how the quarterback position itself has changed and how high school football has been one of the places where we have seen now players like Caleb Williams making it to the pros, where a high school coach might look at his roster of, let's call it 35 guys, and say, why would I take the best athlete on my team and make him a receiver when I could just put the ball in his hands on every play? And then that player becomes the quarterback. And now we're seeing a lot of those guys make it to college, then make it to pros. I'd love to know from your time coaching how you've seen the quarterback position itself change, and how does the NFL need to change with the idea that maybe these guys aren't necessarily quarterback robots, but they're guys with extreme talent and are willing to learn. How can you square the circle and get the most out of those players?
Well, I think, you know, certainly you've seen the NFL evolve in terms of what a prototypical quarterback maybe looks like, performs like, you know. So that was, you know, very, very different, you know, before the turn of the century. So you just think about like somebody like Charlie Ward, you know, like what a talented athlete he was, you know, at Florida State. And if Charlie Ward were coming out today, I would imagine that somebody would have drafted him high in the NFL. You know, so to your, you know, what you're talking about, like the, you know, certainly there's been evolution, you know, in terms of what people peg as, okay, this is what we want and need to be successful as a football program or team, you know. So you see it, it's sort of I think in the high school ranks, you've seen more of those types of players for a longer period of time. And then certainly in the college ranks, and then not so much. And usually it's the other way around. It's the trickle down from the NFL that goes down into college and then high school. But it's interesting. It's fascinating because that type of athletes we see at quarterback today in the NFL, you know, those sort of different varied skill sets have been more coveted at the high school level for a longer time, you know. But now, you know, you see these phenomenal multifaceted guys at quarterback now in the league. So, I mean, I really think, you know, from the other big pieces, like that league, like that position has to be got to be healthy, because you're investing a lot of money into that person, and then you want that person to be the right type of leader. You know, so the biggest thing that I see with, like, one of the biggest things I see with Caleb is people talk about his arm talent, his athletic ability, but he's a special type of leader in terms of the way he influences those around him. So no matter what era we're talking about in the NFL, college, high school, you know, how many, that player has to be a hell of a leader for your team to be great. That player has got to be a guy that inspires others in critical moments and instills belief in others in critical moments for your team to be successful. And I think that has not changed and will only become more, if anything else, important, all right, as we're looking at the evolution of football. But I think Caleb has has that quality for certain.
Our guest on the Burstein and Holmes show on The Score is Randy Trivers, the head football coach at Gonzaga College High School. Let me also ask this, and this is coming from someone who was recently a high school sports parent and understands the relationship with coaches, that we've heard a lot about Caleb's family and the control or the extent to which his father has been involved, shall we say, with his sports career. What was your relationship like with Carl Williams? And were there ever any issues? Were there ever any moments where you're like, hey, Carl, I got this? Or you had to say to Caleb, hey Caleb, tell your dad to let me coach?
No. So, Carl and Carl's father, Dana mom, they were fantastic parents, extremely supportive of their son, Caleb, the other players, the program. They were excellent as far as, hey, coach them, coach, and teach them and mentor them and challenge them. And so they were wonderful family to have as a part of our program. And, you know, they just care deeply in terms of they're going to be there for him. They were always there for him, I should say, and relative to, you know, being at all the games but supporting him, supporting the other young men in our program. You know, they were not, you know, contrary to what people may, for whatever reason, think, you know, they were not helicopter. What do they call them? The helicopter mm-hmm. parents that are hovering over and trying to call the plays or tell the coach, hey, this is, you know, playing the general manager for the coach. I mean, that never did Carl once say, hey, why don't you do this with Caleb, or why don't you try this, or why don't we do this with our team? Never. And you know, so Caleb was always humble, hardworking, and his parents were just very, very supportive. I mean, you know, and I think that's we have a really strong structure in the way that we run our program at Gonzaga, and he trusts. There's a lot of trust. I think, you know, there was trust in myself, our staff, our program. That's why they chose to come to Gonzaga. I would probably bet if you talk to Lincoln, Coach Riley, he'd probably, you know, tell you something similar. That Carl Williams, very, very supportive of his son. He trusted us enough to send Caleb to play for me at Oklahoma and then at USC. So I think that was our relationship.
What do you think is the most important thing that will allow Caleb to succeed at this level?
I think perseverance in terms of handling the highs and the lows. You know, so I've always been impressed with Caleb's poise in critical moments competitively. And that's going to be obviously an important piece in the competitive moment of a football game, but also just the ebbs and flows of an NFL season, the scrutiny, the challenges, the different things that you'll have one week versus another week versus one season versus another. And I just think his ability to to handle the highs and the lows, keeping a great perspective, keeping his poise, is going to be you know, vital for him to be to continue on that track. Like he's been great at every level. You know, there's a pattern that he's been that's been clear. You know, he was great as a youth league athlete. He was great as a high school student athlete. He's great as a college student athlete. And now it's the NFL. And I think if he can do that. And you know what, personally, like get his tail up when he gets knocked down, whether that means, you know, taking a sack, throwing an interception, or losing a football game in a particular week, it's okay. Let's flush that one down the toilet and let's go. Here's the next one. If he can continue having that type of attitude and demeanor, I think he'll have we'll see that pattern continue as far as him being highly successful at the professional level.
Randy, this is terrific. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I have to say, after going through some of your biographical information, I was predisposed to like you because you and I are from the same club that's where English majors can actually have steady work.
My man. I love it.
Later on in our lives. And my wife, too, who actually also went to University of Maryland and was an English major there where you got your graduate degree. So good stuff.
Nice.
Man. Good stuff.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and happy as heck for Caleb, his family, and the city of Chicago. I'm officially a Chicago Bear fan.
Oh, we love hearing that.
Bears.
Good luck to you. Bears. Thanks again for joining us.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Randy Trivers.
That was delightful.
Yeah. Really, really good stuff in those very thoughtful answers from Caleb Williams's former high school head coach.
Speaking of thoughtful, would you like to hear from the general manager of the Bears?
I would love to hear this.
Guess what? You're going to hear from him next on Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes.
I hate being a fan of this team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, guys, we're here. It's Caleb Williams. I'm ready. The newest Chicago Bear, the Bears. I'm excited. We're ready.
Bars.
As a holistic from the organization, and I know y'all fans are ready to get us to get out there and handle business. So, the Bears.
Bears.
We gotta get Caleb Williams to start doing that.
He's been doing more than that.
I know we have to get.
He's been doing the Bears.
I know, but we have to let him in on the thing.
Nah,
Grody's got to like lead him down that
Bears
because he already did it. Grody already did the thing when he asked him the question about the bear on his sweatshirt, and then he stopped. He pulled the microphone back on Bear. So he's already.
I think we don't have to let him in on the bit. I think that he's gonna give us stuff anyway. Think about all the drops that he's already given us. I think it's good. The other thing I think is good is Ryan Poles talking to the media. So if you were wondering how we got here with not just Caleb Williams, which is easier, but how we got here with Rome Odunze, this is what the general manager had to say about all of that.
Really excited. If you told me we would end up with both Caleb and Rome weeks ago, I would have said you were crazy. But there were two guys that obviously we were really excited to have. Not only are they really good players, but really good people as well that are going to continue to enhance our locker room and our team moving forward. So I'll open up to questions.
Ryan, when did you know that Caleb was going to be the answer for you guys, the direction you're going to go, quarterback?
Yeah, it's kind of two parts. Like when you watch the tape, it was easy to see the talent and wanted him on our team. But it was all about going through the process. So once we got through the 30 visit and spent time with him, got him with some of the guys on our team, he kind of felt good about the person, the culture fit. Knew at that point that he was going to help us, and we were ready to go.
Ryan, you guys had three breakout groups, determined receiver, tackle.
You know who won that competition.
I know now. Right, so I asked you the other day about, you know, if you had an opportunity to pick. I don't know where Rome was on your personal board, but I said if you had the opportunity to pick the third receiver or maybe the top edge, top D tackle, how would you kind of go about that process? What made receiver be ultimately the answer for you?
I'd go back one step. It wasn't so much like a specific position group. The players, you know, like I told you the other day, Ian and I sequenced the board out all the way across, and Rome was extremely high on that list. That's why I was nervous that he wasn't going to be there at 9. Our simulations, it was about a 50-50 shot if he was going to be there. But as it started to unfold, Ian had to hold me back from not trying to trade up and do something crazy to get him. But it ended up working out really well.
What was your knowledge on the front end of the workout that they had with Rome and Caleb with having DJ and Keaton out there?
Yeah, I found out, was it 2 days ago, that popped out. And I thought it was pretty cool. Still, at that point, I was nervous that wasn't going to be able to work out or we'd have to do something to make that work out. So when I found that out, it was cool. And obviously now that group's worked together, which is good.
Ryan, we talked to Caleb. You see all the talent. That's obvious. You see what he brings to the table. On your end, how do you make sure that the Bears get this right?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, the infrastructure has to be there. And I think we've done that part to have the talent around, our quarterback now. I think the other thing is it's going to be our entire organization is going to have to be on the same page on how we handle this, how we develop Caleb. But I'll also say that it's I think we have a really good approach with all the players. And I think that's different than maybe it was in the past, the way that we take it really serious in terms of the development from a nutritional standpoint to performance, to mental skills, to how our coaches teach. Like, I think we've made some really good strides there. But it's going to take everybody, and everyone's got to be on the same page. We got to adjust to strengths and weaknesses that the player has.
Ryan, Caleb said, you know, I asked him a question about the history, the Bears' history of quarterback and how it hasn't gone well. And he said he had questions for you guys, and you guys were very explained things to him. What were those conversations like?
I think he just kind of wanted to get a feel for everybody in the organization. What were we about in terms of, like, what's our direction, what's our North Star, how are we going to get there? And I think through our actions, we've shown that. And, you know, history's the history. Like, I'm kind kind of done talking about it. Like, we go back so much all the time, and that those days are over. So we're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way. Obviously, we love our history here, but it hasn't been smooth recently, and it's time to change. So I feel like we got to stop going back all the time.
Ryan, what are the specific aspects of Rome's skill set that he was the number one receiver for you guys and that just really was a pull for you?
Man, I don't know where to start with that guy. First of all, human being, what a great guy. Work ethic, just blue collar and the way he goes about things. But as a receiver, he can align anywhere, inside, outside. You love his ability to finish in contested situations, play strong, plays big, run after catch is very good. He's a punt returner as well. I mean, the kid just put time in and got better and better every single year, and he's a winner. Can impact the game at any moment. If you're a quarterback and you're in doubt, you want to just go give a guy an opportunity to go finish, he's your guy. He's done that consistently.
Ryan, after nine, what was the rest of the night like for you guys? Was there any talk of maybe even trying to get back into the first round for a third pick? What was the rest of the night like after the ninth pick?
Every year there's like that feeling around like the teens or 20s, you're like, maybe we can get back in. But then you start looking at what it would take, and we would just do damage to ourselves for this year and for next year. We don't have a ton of draft capital this year to even really do that. So we just kind of took it all in, patient, kind of talked about our evaluations, look forward for tomorrow and see how that's going to play out, what positions are going to go, what opportunities we're going to have.
Were you getting calls for number nine?
Yeah. There's a bunch of calls. We made calls. I think that's just kind of standard practice. Everyone just kind of get a feel for where everybody's at, but nothing like crazy.
Ryan, I know you had a different perspective when you watched Caleb in 2023, but I'm curious whether it was Oklahoma or his Heisman year. Did you happen to catch a game of his or remember kind of the first time he caught your eye?
I was watching that Texas-Oklahoma game for sure. And it was like, who is this kid? Some of those throws were ridiculous. And then you kind of track players as you go along and watching Addison. What was it, last year, 2 years ago? You saw the talent.
Ryan, I felt that's gone into this quarterback decision and leading up to this point. Well, what's the feeling like for you to be at the finish line and tap Caleb as your quarterback?
Finish line of the process?
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels great. It's a guy that has all the tools. But it's going to take hard work. It's going to take getting into sync with his teammates. There's a long road ahead to develop the places where he needs to develop to win games and bring a championship here. But the beautiful thing is we have the right people here. We have the right teammates, and I feel really good about it.
Ryan, as it turned out, how many quarterbacks in this class were worth starting over with a rookie as opposed to keeping Justin?
Can you say that again?
Sorry. How many quarterbacks in this class were, in your mind, worth starting over with a rookie as opposed to keeping Justin?
I didn't even get down. Like, I didn't even think that way. It was Caleb, and obviously we watched the other players, but decided on Caleb.
Ryan, what
has that journey been like for you from 2022 to the group you have now? The group you inherited, and then some of the pitfalls along the way to end up with what you have now.
Yeah, I'm pumped. We've done good work. We've brought, again, it's one thing to bring talent in, but it's another to bring talent that, like, they're good people and they're great teammates. I mean, the stuff that these guys have been doing over the last few weeks is incredible, just seeing how close everybody is. But, yeah, we looked in today just what the roster looks like, and it's been a journey. I know it hasn't been that many years, but it feels like it's been a lot of years. So we've done good work. But obviously, like I said the other day, we got to win.
Ryan, how would you say Caleb and Shane have hit it off? Mm-hmm. And what was his involvement? And, you know, obviously it seems like it was an easy decision for you, but specifically he's going to be directing him on what to do.
Yeah. No, that's been really cool to see from going out there on the pro day. To hear about some of the Zooms that they've done over the last few weeks. just getting to know each other, to talk ball. So that relationship had to be there, and that was part of our process as well.
Now that the first round is over, I'm sure there are some guys that you thought maybe would have went in that they slid out of that first round. You always often talk about flexibility. You guys got 2 seconds next year that give you some flexibility to maybe see what's available in terms of moving up tomorrow.
Potentially. We'll see what the numbers look like. And just kind of gauge if that's something we need to do.
Is this right, mainly for you to have just the 4 picks, just having had double-digit picks? I think you had 10 last year, 11 the previous year, and now 4. Does it feel empty at all? Like, I mean, I know that you're happy with what you did in the offseason and what you did with those picks, but it's got to feel strange to only have 4 picks.
With 1 and 9, it doesn't feel that strange. It'll feel strange after the 4th round. Tomorrow, I'll probably just go get a workout or something.
Brian, you said earlier about not wanting to do something crazy and moving up. I mean, when did you get the sense this evening that Rome was going to be there at 9? Were there nerves up there thinking the dominoes were starting to fall the right way for you guys?
Yeah, there was definitely nerves. There was a couple moves ahead of us. And then what we do, our pro staff does a really good job just identifying needs of different teams. Our analytics team puts kind of percentages of where guys can go. So we really tapped into that, and once we got to like 7, we started feeling pretty good that he might make it.
Was there one pick there that made you feel like he was going to fall your way, like something happened before you?
Not specifically, no.
Well, the Atlanta pick, though. I mean, is that what you were expecting it?
No, I'm just happy it worked out that way.
Brian, how do you project Caleb's intuition for the position? You know, his instinct, like, you know, sensing the blitz and manipulating defenses and just kind of willing a team over the finish line. How important is that to you, and how do you project that for a guy like him?
Yeah, the instincts are, for any position, are so important. It's we oftentimes look at things that you can coach and you can't coach. And when you have the things you can't coach and we can develop the other parts of it, you feel good about it. So he's got special instincts, awareness, especially in the pocket, to, you know, manipulate the pocket, get in and out of the pocket. Spatial feel for space is special. That's his special sauce. And then once we kind of speed things up and start to identify different coverages, and he's got a, you know, there's an adjustment to an NFL offense that he's got to go through as well. So we're really excited to work with the tools that he has.
Right. When you zeroed in on how Caleb operates in the clutch, what kind of stood out to you in big moments?
Yeah, you look for poise, guys that the game kind of slows down for them in those critical moments, that they're capable of, you know, making those special throws when you need them the most, especially down the stretch. That clutch part's really, really, really good. You need that in games. For how many close games we have in this league, you got to have guys that can finish, especially in like 2-minute drills and things like that.
What about how he faced adversity? I know last year wasn't always easy for him.
Yeah, we had conversations about that, and I think it's the best thing that could have happened to him, because you're going to have that in the NFL. You're going to have the down weeks, months, and you're going to have to find a way to get through them. You're going to have to tap into the different resources to get through them. And get back to playing at a high standard. So I think going through that adversity helped him to continue to really find his edge, but also to recover when things don't go well.
Kind of going back to Jason's question about the journey of the receiver room, where do you think along your own journey did you learn to kind of flush and move on from mistakes? Sometimes GM's kind of reluctant to acknowledge and then pivot from a mistake. You seem to be much more willing to say, that didn't really work, let's move on.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this before. You all know I played with Matt Ryan, and then he was with the Falcons, and I called him for a question with the roster, and he just was like, the players always know. The locker room are always know. So if you're going to tell them to put their egos away or take ownership of things, but then you got someone that's going to hold on to, a certain player longer just because they picked them and they don't want that on their record, the players know. And if you're going to be consistent, not a hypocrite, you need to do it the right way. So that always just kind of was in my head.
But quarterbacks have so much responsibility, you know, on and off the field, right? With your teammates, with the media. What is it about Caleb that makes you think he's going to be able to handle that in this market with this team?
He's highly competitive, and he wants to be great, and he has passion for the game. If you have those, you're going to be fine in whatever environment that you're in. You know, obviously, through the ups and downs, you're going to have thick skin, and you're going to make some mistakes here or there, and it's just how you recover, and do you learn from it? That's the big thing, and he's a guy that does learn from parts of his journey and parts of those, you know, adverse times and recover. So I think it'll be fine.
Seems like he's got like a comfort in his own skin too.
Yeah. He's got a lot of comfort in his own skin, which is good to see. You got to have that.
That's Ryan Poles in his meeting with the media after the first night of the draft. There's a lot more to come. It's going to lead us to more Who's Your Guy coming up at noon. But let's react to what we heard. There's one piece there that is a little larger picture that's very important to me. And I know you were jotting down something that is important to you as well.
We will discuss after this. Bernstein and Holmes here with you until 2, talking about Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, and the Bears. Who's your guy at noon? Stick around. You're listening to The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
You know, history's the history. Like, I'm kind of done talking about it. Like, go back so much all the time, and those days are over. So we're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way. Obviously, we love our history here, but it hasn't been smooth recently, and it's time to change. So I feel like we got to stop going back all the time.
I love it. I get it. I understand that, as a wise man once said, or kind of an idiot, the past is for cowards and losers. And sure, but it's kind of all Bears fans have is the fading glory of the past. And I love that. That I don't want the general manager, the coach, the quarterback thinking at all about
the weight of history.
No, or Sid Luckman or any records in 4,000 yards passing or 30 touchdowns or whatever it may be. However, that's our job. And I can't tell you right here that I can be in lockstep just saying, forget it, forget it, forget it. Because those of us of a certain age who have had a relationship with this team on all kinds of different levels, a unique and privileged opportunity to be a fan and then a fan and observer and season ticket holder and then be a daily on the job beat reporter for years. And then also be an observer doing this job and getting mm-hmm. back into being a fan and having to raise a kid who's a Bears fan and a wife who's maybe turning into one, not raising her, but introducing her to it. That's my concern. Let me worry about the past, because that's for each of us. That's an individual burden and it's an individual awareness. And I will tell you that I'm not going to let go of it. Because I do think it's important and informative.
It's hard to put those bricks down.
It's important and it's informative, especially with the fact that I'll be straight up right now. This is a wonderful day. There's part of me that wonders if the Bears are going to be doomed to repeat the failures they've made in the past regarding regime and environment and coaching staff.
You do understand, though, how that is unfair to Ryan Poles, though.
Absolutely I do, and especially with our first segment of the show, talking about everything that Ryan Poles has done. I wish he would have fired the coach.
I know you do. And
I said it at the time.
And look, that's one of the things that I took away from the press conference is that his response to what Herb was talking about of being able to pivot. And, I mean, it's pretty clear, like, if you're Velus Jones, you should feel very nervous right now.
And if you're Luke Getsy, you might want to feel a little subtweeted when it comes to flexibility, et cetera, mm-hmm. and multi-positionality and some of that.
And maybe if things don't go the way that he wants in this season, he will course correct on the head coach.
But still, but that's part of why this has been an ongoing problem, is who's inheriting whom, who's held over from a previous regime, that it hasn't been clean. And that is something that I still have circled even as they embark on what's next.
I think that it's really hard for people to put those bricks down, and I understand anyone who would look at their life as a fan of the Bears, even if their fandom started 10 years ago, and go, why should I trust them? Poles, I think, has made enough moves where you can make an argument for trusting him going forward. But that doesn't mean that that trust is without there being a little bit of skepticism.
And I do think there are football lessons, concrete football lessons to be learned from an ignominious history.
You can trust him. Yeah. Who's your guy is coming up? We're still doing it. It doesn't matter if the first round
a lot
happened.
Of picks left.
There's a lot still, of guys left.
There's a whole lot of guys left.
Who's your guy?
312-644-6767. Dan, do the thing, and then do the thing.
All right, hold on. The thing is done.
And then the other thing.
It's working.
It's working. It's done. He doesn't have to do the thing.
It's magic.
You want to know why? Because that's the magic of the draft, and who's your guy? It's next!